are tuning in to CIDI's Daily News Show, Township's Daily News Bits, and I am your host, Taylor McClure. Parents, students, elected officials, and citizens gathered in front of the Centre Service Scolaire de Montréal on May 19th to denounce the allegations of sexual violence that emerged from two of Quebec's high schools, Louis Trichet in Montreal and Massey-Vanier High School English in Counsville. After the information was made public, it sparked a dialogue for immediate action to be taken at the provincial level by implementing a framework law for sexual violence at the primary and secondary schools in Quebec. Member of the National Assembly for Mercier from the Quebec Solidaire Party, Ruba Ghazal, presented a bill to the National Assembly back in April, Bill 397. The new proposed law calls for the adoption of a policy to prevent and combat sexual violence in all institutions from preschool to high school. Taking the podium at the press conference, Ghazal demanded that Education Minister Bernard Drainville take immediate action and that the time to implement the bill is now.
My message today is very clear. I want to ask Mr. Bernard Drainville, Minister of the Education, that it's important to prevent sexual aggression in the schools. And for this, it's important that he take and adopt the bill that I propose to prevent aggression. It's important. It's his responsibility. It's our responsibility as adults to protect children, to protect teenagers. When they go to school, it's to learn, not to be aggressed. And the only way to prevent these cases, these aggressions, sexual aggressions, is to have a bill to prevent them. And I hope that Mr. Drainville will listen to all the victims, will listen to the parents, will listen to all the opposition party, and to adopt this law. Thank you.
At the local level, two Eastern Township's parents, Jennifer Hopkins and Anastasia Spanos, both of whom have been advocating for change and supporting students after hearing about the allegations at MVHS, demanded that chairman for the Eastern Township School Board resign from his position. We sat down with Jennifer and Anastasia to speak more on this potential framework and the changes that they deem necessary for Quebec's elementary and high schools moving forward. Jennifer, thank you so much for coming back to CIDI today and for doing a follow-up with me with everything that's happening in our local high school right now at Massey-Vanier. I really appreciate you coming in to do this.
Thank you for having me again.
So, some news for our community here. For those who might not be aware, a press conference took place in Montreal last Friday in front of the Centre Service Scolaire de Montréal, where parents, students, elected officials, and citizens addressed the allegations of sexual assault that are emerging from some of Quebec's schools. Without going into details about any of the cases, because there's a publication ban set in place, can you please inform our listeners as to what the purpose was behind this press conference? What are you and others asking for?
The purpose was, there's this amazing collective, Good La Voix des Jeunes Comptes, and they have been trying for the past, I think, 5 to 6 years, get a law passed for the government to implement rules and regulations specific to sexual violence in primary and secondary schools. And they've been working with families across Quebec that have been dealing with sexual violence in high schools, including Massey-Vanier, and with my family as well. So they decided to do a press conference after articles in Le Devoir came out explaining some of the cases at different schools across Quebec, including Massey. And we all met. It was just to kind of show both the government, the Minister of Education, the communities, society at large, everyone, that this is happening in our schools. And parents and students are fed up because they don't know where to go. They don't know who to speak to. For myself, I feel like I've been screaming for 2.5 years without getting any assistance, help, anything. And so La Voix des Jeunes Comptes are helping this and trying to propose a law, the same law that was passed in 2017 and put into the post-secondary school system.
And I don't know if you wanted to talk about that a little bit more and like kind of what the framework would look like. I didn't know if you wanted to talk about that in terms of what you're hoping the this law will look like when if implemented.
Well, the collective isn't asking for them to reinvent the wheel. It's basically it's called Bill 151. And it was put into post-secondary schools in 2017, and a huge amount of money was put into it, and it is the prevention of sexual violence and how to deal with sexual violence at the post-secondary school level, and it involves trauma response training. Professors and people that work at the school have to be trained and update their training every year on how to deal with sexual violence, sexual misconduct, sexual abuse, how to, when a student comes to you, what to ask, what not to ask, the reporting structure, how to look at power dynamics within the school and how those affect sexual violence. So it's already laid out, completely laid out, and we are just asking for it to be implemented in the primary and the secondary schools where sexual violence is happening. Mm-hmm. And especially at the younger levels, they don't have the voice to speak up for themselves. They don't have the know-how. A 10-year-old's not reading policies and procedures and knowing who to talk to about what's going on. So if anything, it's needed more at the primary and the secondary school levels. So that's what the Friday press conference was about. That's what we need in the schools. And I think it would benefit our community, our children, our young adults. It would benefit the teachers and the administration because it would give them a clear framework on where to go and what to do when tools. This stuff happens. Yeah. And it would be clearly laid out because right now the policies and procedures aren't this robust kind of system in place where they can help deal with this. And you only have to look at what's happening at Massé-Vanier and other schools in the area to see that it is not working. I think that you asked me what one of our demands are, and I'm demanding that Michael Murray resign immediately based on how he has mishandled this situation for not just a year, but for many, many, many years. I think just how he's handled himself in the media is appalling. He says he wasn't aware of this, that he didn't know anything about this. And as soon as they have information, they act quickly. So if he's not aware of what's going on in his schools, police investigations, safe school committees, sexual assault allegations, sexual violence allegations. If he's not aware of that going on in his schools, then I don't know what it is. And I would like to ask him. Be more than happy. My husband and I would be more than happy to sit down with him and discuss this. Mm-hmm. I would like to do it publicly because I do believe he needs to answer to this. And saying that he cannot speak to this because it is under investigation. I don't want to speak about the cases under investigation. I want to speak about my case that is not under investigation. I want to ask him about safe schools committees and how those are run because they seem completely ineffective. The safe school policy and procedure has been in place. It's 26 years old. So in a nutshell, say a student goes to the principal and says, this happened. If it's a major infraction, the principal is to contact the necessary people to get them involved, be it the DPG, the police, the school board. Then they gather and they have a safe schools committee. And in the safe schools committee, they sit around and decide and discuss and assess the impact of the infraction on the victim and make a determination on how to proceed and don't involve the families. So they make these assessments and these determinations and they enact decisions. In our case, we never received anything from the ETSB, not one thing. We never received a phone call. Mm-hmm. We never received an email. We emailed every week. We asked for the policy, we asked for procedures, we asked for pamphlets, we asked for anything. We contacted them at least 2 to 3 times a week, asking for what's going on, what's going on, what's going on. And we would get replies saying it's confidential. I don't know how policies and procedures are confidential, but it's opaque. At best, it's opaque.
So this new bill and this new framework that you're trying to get implemented in elementary and high schools will kind of hopefully alleviate that. It's meant to ensure that everyone has a place to turn to and they know where to turn to.
Yeah, there would be training. There'd be kind of like trauma response training. So when a child at a school maybe is faced with mm-hmm. a sexual assault at school, there is someone there that has been trained to know how to handle that. And that doesn't mean that they would ask the student who's been victimized to sit down with her perpetrator mm-hmm. and discuss it. That is not an appropriate way to go about things. This is sexual violence. Mm-hmm. This affects a person for the rest of their life. It can't be treated like being pushed down in the playground for a toy. Mm-hmm. You can't have the perpetrator say, "I'm sorry for sexually assaulting you," and then go back to class with that person. And that traumatizes the victim again and again and again. And when it keeps happening and they keep complaining and they keep going to the principal or the vice principal and nothing is done, there's another re-traumatization of what they're going through. And what do parents do? I really asked Michael Murray this, is that when parents did notify and students did notify the principal, the police, and they still have not communicated with the families. I mean, common sense would maybe show them that they should contact the families and say, "We've heard your complaint. Mm-hmm. At least here is our policy and procedure on how we're going to move forward on this." I mean, had my husband and I not read the Education Act, all the policies and the procedures, poured through document after document after document and asked questions, nothing would have been communicated to us. Mm-hmm. We had to beg them to speak to us.
This is ensuring that you'll have someone to communicate with you. Students will have someone to communicate with. Parents will have someone to communicate with. Teachers will.
Well, yeah, and I think that it will show that the school board actually cares, that they are taking this seriously. Anyone can go in front of a TV or a microphone and say, "We take this seriously." We aren't outsiders that don't know what's going on and that they're working furiously behind the scenes. We were in it. We were right in the process with them, and they still didn't communicate with us. And we got involved. We got very, very involved, and still nothing.
Now, my next question was, why is it essential to address the subject of sexual assault at the provincial level? You kind of touched on it throughout our conversation, but there is also something that you mentioned to me the other day when we were speaking, that you've been getting messages from some parents and other people from all over the place that you don't even know who they are. Perhaps mm-hmm. you would like to highlight this here. I think that this just reflects the need for the government to step in.
So since the press conference last Friday, and also because I've been somewhat outspoken about what's been going on in Lac-Brome and at Massé-Vanier and with the book drive, people have kind of seen my name associated with these cases and that I'm speaking out. So I've been receiving a lot of messages via Facebook from people I don't know, mothers that I don't know in Montreal at various schools, saying, "This happened to my daughter. This happened to my son. We're dealing with this right now. Where do we go? What do we do? I don't know who to speak to. The principal's not doing anything, or we can't get anyone to act." And it breaks my heart, because that's where I was 2.5 years ago. There is a deep need for this. And as we spoke about last time, as uncomfortable as this is mm-hmm. to speak about sexual violence at primary schools, it is happening. So we need to put in place, and the government needs to help this. They did it at post-secondary schools where students are 18 and older and are capable of going on Google and looking up rules and regulations and policies and procedures. We have 5-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds dealing with this. How do we expect them and their parents to figure out where to go and what to do when there's nothing out there to help them? I don't know who to ask. I don't know who to beg. And I'm going to get emotional, but this has been a long 2.5 years. And watching parents scream into the internet, into the universe, saying, someone please listen to us. It's breaking my heart.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, it is overwhelming because I don't know what to do.
Well, no, that's the whole point.
I'm not a social worker. The only thing is, I say, I hear you. Let me look into it and get back to you. I won't disappear, and I promise I will get back to you. Mm-hmm. Because I hear you and I understand. That's my first response, is to let them know that I hear them. Mm-hmm. And that I'm not going to disappear.
The fact that parents are feeling the need to have to turn to other parents who are going through the same situation to know what to do, where to go, who to speak to. I don't know if they still do this, for example, but sometimes I remember when it was like orientation week, you get a folder, you get all these documents about, oh, here are the resources that are available to you.
With our case, I should say, I thought that when we went through and made our complaint to the police and made a complaint to the principal of the school and did all that we thought we should do, mm-hmm. that I would receive, or we would receive, a package in the mail, possibly.
Yeah.
Saying, here, this is what is going to happen next. These are the steps we are going to follow. This is what our safe school policy is. Yeah. This is what the safe school committee is. This is what we're going to decide. To receive nothing is not only disheartening, it makes you angry, mm-hmm. because you feel like they don't care.
Yeah. So as I mentioned and emphasize, that just even further reflects the need to have something like this, because this will essentially be mandatory for them to follow. It'll be mandatory to have those resources available to parents.
But even if they don't, let's say the government doesn't step forward and implement something like Bill 151 into the primary and the secondary schools. That does not mean that the ETSB cannot do it on their own.
Yeah.
Maybe not do a bill and a law, but say, okay, when a case comes forward of sexual assault or sexual violence in any capacity, our first thing to do is we contact the families with policies and procedures. We send them documentation so they know exactly what's happening. We check in on them. We ask them, how is your daughter or your son doing? We show some sort of initiative that they care, but they could make these changes on their own. They, you know, Massey-Vanier or Knowlton Academy or any of the local schools could say, okay, here is the pamphlet we are going to send out to parents at the beginning of the year so they know who to call, what to do. It doesn't need to come down from the government. That would be very helpful. But maybe Michael Murray could take some initiative and do this on his own to show that they are doing something about this. But I really do believe Michael Murray should step down.
The elected official that presented the bill to the National Assembly that was there at the press conference, she even demanded that he resign.
Yeah, and the Liberal Party and Quebec Solidaire and the PQ Party want to do an investigation into the ETSB on their mishandling of this. Mm-hmm. Because it shouldn't have taken upwards of 8 different students over a period of 5 years to be sexually assaulted before the school board did something. Cases we know of and cases that are well documented.
Now, ever since students and parents have come forward, it's opening up that dialogue now. You know, it's opening up dialogue at the provincial level for educational reform in regards to sexual assault in elementary school and high schools. There is recognition growing that this is happening. Mm-hmm. The education minister even launched a provincial-wide investigation into our schools. So do you think that this potential framework, if implemented, do you think that that would be a step in the right direction to opening up that dialogue at the community level, like local community level, a little bit more between community members, students, teachers, children, youth? You were speaking to me a little bit about your experience addressing sexual assault in our community and trying to talk about it and raise awareness around it, but it wasn't always the easiest. You had some pushback at times.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't choose to be doing this. Yes, I've been very outspoken, and I've noticed in the community the hesitancy to publicly speak out. To publicly support what I'm doing. Now, the book drive, people are supporting that openly. But to publicly speak out against sexual assaults at the primary school and at the secondary school, publicly speak out against how the ETSB has been handling this, there is a great hesitancy. And some days the silence is really emotional for me because I feel alone in this. My husband and I feel alone. But then people tell me privately that they support me and support what we're doing. I've had people with tears in their eyes say, thank you so much for doing this. And they want to speak about it. But there's this hesitancy in a small community to attach their name and their identity to it. Mm-hmm. And I find that problematic. I understand. I can intellectually get my head around why they're hesitant. But emotionally, it's very hard for me to understand their silence. So I think if a new law is adopted, if I keep pushing this and we keep having public conversations about this, it will maybe make it more comfortable.
create a safer space for them to feel like they can talk about it.
To constructively criticize a school isn't saying you're not doing well, you are a bad school. It is saying we have some things that we are concerned about and we would like to make this an even better school. It's okay to say, hey, we need to make change. It's not making you some sort of social justice warrior, which I think is a good thing anyway, but we need to make this change. It's been a long, it's been long and exhausting. And I want people to care. I want change to happen. I want children to be safe. I want parents and school boards and teachers and principals to discuss this openly. I want the commissioner, Michael Murray, to step down and admit or take some accountability. After the press conference, my husband was driving home from work in the city, and he texted me and he said, oh my God, I can hear you on the radio. And I was laughing. And so he recorded it, and it was me at the press conference speaking. And right after I spoke, Michael Murray spoke. And Michael Murray said that he will not resign, and it is irresponsible and premature for us to be discussing this. And I would like to ask him, when is a proper time to discuss this?
I wasn't sure if there was anything else, Jennifer. We spoke in the past, and I don't want to go into too much detail because I know this has been a really heavy time for everyone involved. Is there anything else that you wanted to mention to our community at large that before we sign off?
I'm not trying to cause waves. I'm not trying to rock the proverbial boat. I am really doing this to try to make a change. I'm really doing this so no parents have to go through what my husband and I and my daughter went through. It is painful. It is hard. And I don't want that to happen to any other kids. And if we can try to stop it before it happens, I mean, this was preventable. This was so preventable. I just would like the community to know I'm doing this and fighting this as hard as I'm fighting it because I saw what it can do to a kid. I don't want it to happen to theirs. Is 2023 enough is enough? I mean, we need to do something now. Yeah. And we need to involve the kids. And the book drive was one of the things I wanted to mention. The book drive, I believe it's complete. I believe all 52 books were bought. So I'm very proud and very happy about that and very thankful to the community for that. But I really don't want anyone to have to take their 7-year-old to the police station and speak to a sex crimes investigator. To act before it's too late, not after. This perpetrator, this student, has been failed over and over and over again. My daughter was failed. We were failed. The student before my daughter was failed. The 5 students after my daughter were failed. And no one is taking accountability for it. No one will even return calls and emails. So I don't want any parents to have to go through or any children to have to go through what we have for 2.5 years.
Well, thank you so much, Jennifer, for speaking with us. I really appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Anastasia, I just wanted to thank you so much for talking with CIDI again today and for taking the time out of your day for doing this follow-up with me. It's really appreciated.
Thank you for calling me.
So, Anastasia, a press conference took place in Montreal in front of the Centre Service Scolaire de Montréal.
Yes.
You were there alongside another local resident, Jennifer Hopkins, to demand change at the provincial level to implement a framework, a law, to avoid potential future situations of sexual violence in our elementary and secondary schools. So an elected official actually introduced a bill to the National Assembly to get this framework implemented. What do you hope this framework looks like, and what changes are you hoping to see moving forward now that this information has been made public?
Well, what we're looking for as a parent is the safety of our children. So that means we have to have something in place where it's there to protect not only the staff, but also the students. Right now, there's nothing. Yes, they do have protocols how to deal with certain things, but unfortunately, our school did not, because we're talking about a year and a half just in Massy-Vanier. So where were the protocols? Now, if the laws were there that we're asking for, which is more protocols in schools, better education for staff and students, how to deal and what's consent and what is appropriate, and then after that, have someone who actually takes care of the cases individually and does the appropriate steps that needs to be done in order for both the victim and the person who committed the act could get help, because there's things underneath why people become abusers or why things happen. So it's not just to protect the victims, it's also protect the person who has been accused. Yes, there's false accusations that happen a lot, unfortunately, but it's the 1% of those ones that we think it's false, but it's actually true, and the person has been manipulated to back off. So we need proper staff, proper protocols, and this law would have prevented the 10 cases that we have today.
Yeah, and you know, it was mentioned and brought up at the press conference that there is a framework already implemented in CEJEPs in universities for education.
Yes, it's been there for years, and it works. It's not proof. It's not going to prevent. It's not going to catch it in the act. But if it does happen, the services are there to offer the students to be able to go speak without being judged, without being prosecuted and put the blame on them, and then have it investigated and dealt with in the proper manner, instead of hiding it under the rug and telling it's the girl's fault. CEJEPs are dealing with it a lot better. Universities are dealing with it a lot better. Primaries and secondaries don't have that. So a girl will go say to the principal or to a teacher, someone did this to me. They don't go further. The other assume that it's she asked for it, or it was misunderstood, or boys are going to be boys. And that's where the law will help put all this in place, because there's going to be services for both staff and students. It will be added more seminars for the students to be updated on what's appropriate and what's not. Right now, if you ask a teenager how to use throat spray, you will be surprised on the percentage of don't know how to use a simple throat spray for a sore throat. So imagine first when it comes to sex and consent.
I was actually a student at a university in Montreal, and to be able to even register in my classes, I had to do a training, a sexual assault training, to just even be able to register.
And that's, they should do that everywhere. Like, the person who's taking these cases should have knowledge, should know the stuff and have the service. Not like the school does and just put it under the rug and like, oh no, it's your fault, you were wearing this or you were doing that, or you asked for it because of the way you were flirting with your body language. But no, that law would have saved a lot of girls, a lot of girls. Yeah. Not just in our school, but everywhere else that it's happened.
Yeah, that's what I was about to mention, is that it's only now that the two cases that were discussed at the press conference, discussions about implementing this in secondary and elementary have only started to emerge.
The collective, the Voix des gens qui compte, have been working on this for 5 to 6 years. This has been going on for that long and even more. Thing is that, unfortunately, it's all in French. Everything has been put out in French. All the media, everything has been in French. Nothing is mentioned on the English news until we came out in March 20th. And then after that, oh, everybody's coming out of the woodwork. So I'm like, okay, how come this has been so hidden? I didn't know about all this. I knew it existed, but not to this extent. Now finding out that if, you know, a year and a half ago, if I had known, things would have changed even before that. If I had known before that about this, I would have kept an eye and ear open for, you know, because you don't see it. I'm not there. The kids don't come to me every day to say, oh, this is happening at school. That's another thing. I spoke last week in the media, but none of my speech came out in any news outlet, any radio, nothing. The whole speech that I made, nothing came out, not even a word that I was asking him to resign.
Yeah, Michael, yeah, the chairperson of the Eastern Township School Board.
We need him to resign. It's not the cases that are at the court. That is the justice system that's going to take care of it. We, as parents and students, are saying that you did not handle the situations accordingly. We're asking you to step down. The cases are there. That's the justice system that's going to take care of it. But there's still 14 accusations out. And this is the span of five years going on. But the accusations are since March 20th.
I took that. That was actually one of my questions for you. Like, I took note of that you mentioned that in your speech, that he should be removed from his position.
Because he's been coming out on the media saying that they had no knowledge of this, and that they have the protocols, and that there's rumors. They're accusing me of spreading rumors. Now, why would I go on national television in front of the whole world and announce that there's this going on at this school with my full name?
Yeah, so it's his lack of accountability.
Yes, that's what I want him got. And then step by step, he's the first one needs to go. And then it's the vice principals and every staff member who knew and the DBG who has known for years that this has been going on. They failed the poor kid. Everybody needs to be held accountable. But it's Murray going and blabbing his mouth on every social media that we're following protocols and it's not that serious and that these are rumors. Well, there's 14 accusations. So rumors or facts?
At the press conference afterwards, when you were speaking to me about the two cases, you said something to me that stuck with me. It was something along the lines of, we're only just starting to open up Pandora's box.
Yeah.
Can you comment on what you meant by that? It truly stuck with me.
In March, when I first got the info, it's unwrapping the box that they gave me. Then when I got all the info and investigated myself before coming out, I didn't just one day said, okay, they told me this, I'm going to go blah. No, I did a week's worth of investigation, calling police, social workers, the DPG, everyone to find out what is the proper protocol as me, as just an advocate, to help these girls. Mm-hmm. And then that's when I started the whole process. Cutting the seal open, I guess, of the Pandora box. Now with the letter or the article of the devoir, we just took off a layer of inside the Pandora's box. Now we have the DBG, we have the other staff, we have everything else down to the parents, which is bottom of the box. Mm-hmm. The family members down bottom of the box. So once this is being open and things are coming out, we are going to be surprised. How can we have failed all these children without blinking an eye? They did that monkey thing, you know? I see, hear, and speak no evil. That's how I feel they treated all these cases. And Pandora's box is just about to go explode with all the info because it's coming out of the woodworks. It's not just the sexual violence at the school. It's the bullying, how they treat girls between the boys, how they deal with everything in that school.
Managing the major issues that are going on at the school.
Yeah. I want to clean up. All the parents who I've spoken to want a cleanup of all this stuff.
I just wanted to do an update on the press conference, Anastasia, because like you said, you've been advocating for the girls you found out that this happened in March and you were there and you spoke at the press conference. And I just wanted our community to know what the purpose was behind that press conference.
We need to put pressure on the government. The main thing is the government needs to open their eyes and say, oh my God, this is not just one case, exclusive case. We're talking about two schools, two major accusations, and now there's more coming out. It's not just our school, there's other schools. So the government needs to say, okay, yeah, it's happening in every school and it starts at the young age. So we need these laws in there. It's a simple yes. It doesn't take a big thing. And then we just work on and finding the staff to put all this in implementation. And we have a lot of staff and volunteers and other people who will be willing to help. Like, I would be willing to work with all these girls and have a group session of just speaking about everything and let them speak out their minds without being judged. Definitely. I'm willing to work with the girls. I'm willing to do anything that these girls need in order to be able to not get over it and move on and forget, because that's something you'll never forget, mm-hmm. but be able to live with it and have a normal life. That's my goal. Mm-hmm. Schools are the second home to all our children. We leave them in the care of the schools for those 8 hours of schooling, the buses and everything. It's their responsibility to have it safe for them. Mm-hmm. You freak out over vaping, but you're not taking care of the serious cases that need to be taken care of. That's where the laws, with those laws, it would take care of these problems. From sexual violence down to the bullying, it's like a domino effect that it's going to take care of a lot of problems once these laws are put into place. Mm-hmm. And the government just has to say yes.
Yeah.
That's it. Not mm-hmm. say, oh, we're not going to consider until all the investigation. No, because more cases are going to happen. Mm-hmm. Until you finish your investigation, you take up 3 months, 6 months, a year. How many more are we going to add to the numbers that Jennifer counted? She finished at 10. I wanted to go to 14. That's just one individual that are reported and taken in consideration.
Yeah, so having the education and awareness.
Exactly. And parents need to step up and stop being so close-minded and saying, okay, no, we're not going to talk about that. It's not appropriate. Kids are having sex at the age of 10. They're having babies at 13 because us parents are not speaking to our kids about sex, about safety, protection. What's consent? We need to step up as parents and stop being in the closet and saying, no, this is not appropriate. We shouldn't be. No, we should be talking about this. We should be open with all our kids and say, hey, from a young age, no one touches you there and you did not touch no one there. My nephew, who is 6 years old, is grabbing my daughter's behind. And he's finding it funny. And I'm like, no, did you ask her permission? No, I don't have to. Yes, you do. Because that is a private part. So you have to educate from a young age because it starts from kindergarten. It starts at daycare. Yeah. You know, the little boys chasing after the girls or the little girls chasing after the boys. And we find it so cute and lifting up the skirts and playing peekaboo and all that. That's little things that starts become a big thing. So education is the key. Prevention, education, and those laws will put a lot of things in perspective and change a lot of things. And we won't be having so many cases coming up. But the government needs to step up, not wait until the investigation is closed. We're talking about two schools have come out that are brave enough to come out in the media. Mm-hmm. But I know there's more than that. And that we think it's not happening in our little town, you know. Everybody knows everybody, but no one talks when it comes to that part.
Well, thank you so much again for speaking with me.
Okay, thank you.
Here is a clip of Anastasia's speech from the press conference.
Thank you, everyone, for being here again today. It's a relief to know that the student has finally been taken out of the school and our children are safe, but they're not safe from the staff and the students are still bullying the girls that came out. When I got involved, my gut was telling me it was much worse. Pandora's box has been opened and we're just scratching the surface. It's a shame that we have to go out in the media for the files to move forward and our voices to be heard. Too many years have passed before we intervene in the right way. The schools played tag, you're it, with the safety of our children. Several complaints have been made to the level of the DPG, but nothing was done. Due to that, several girls suffered because of the inaction of the school and will continue for the rest of their lives. Moreover, even the young person in question should have been taken care of from the first report. We all failed them. We all failed them all. The director of the school board had always known. His lack of action in the situation leads us the parents and students to demand the resignation of Michael Murray. We have no confidence in him and his abilities. We have no confidence in the Eastern Township School Board. Changes need to be made, and all the staff that knew, saw, and didn't do anything to also be held accountable. I'm ashamed to be a parent of kids that go to Massey Vanier. And there's no pride in Massey Vanier. Enough is enough. Changes need to be done. Hashtag MeTooSchool.
CIDI followed up with the Eastern Township School Board for comment from the board and Mr. Murray, but they declined to comment as a result of ongoing investigations. Township's Daily News Bits is a program sponsored by Local Journalism Initiative.